right near the top of Yudalf and Beis. Okay, a little bit of Agadata. Tanya Rishim Bar Yochai. Do you have it? Tani, the fourth line down. It's a dot. Tani Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, you got it now? Tani Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, Ad heichon dikdaka Torah begezel. How far did the Torah go in being meticulous about theft? A person and his friend have to be careful even unto when they're lifting the axe. Now that reason that means because a worker who's working the field is only allowed to eat partake of the growth when he's actually chopping, when he's actually swinging his sickle, I guess Magal really is. So since that's the case, so you have to be so meticulous and make sure you're actually swinging the sickle at the time that you're eating. Or, you know, involved. Well, you don't have to literally be swinging, but you have to be involved in that phase of the work, not some other phase of the work. Says, continues Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Gedolah melachos l'chorav dar amabel. Good work is a very wonderful thing, because the generation flood was not destroyed, because they didn't do any work. V'naflu begezel. He brings down here the Kavanaki from Mindrashtan Chumon Breishis, which says that they would plant one year and would make work for 40 years. In other words, they would have a bracha that one year's planting would last for 40 years. So since that's the case, they were idle most of the time. So since they were idle, they started, you know, if you're the idle, so then you start stealing, right? So they started becoming robber barons. Besides that, a worker does his work, and he's ochel, and he eats, upotim in agezel, and he's exempt from theft. So we see what a wonderful thing work is. A work exempts a worker from theft, and the Dor HaBavel was destroyed because they were not conduct themselves properly vis-a-vis theft. He brings down here the Kafanoki, very interesting thing. Says you find also Masech Nedarim in the Bavli. Rabbi Shimon says Gedoyim Melacha Shem Chabedes is Baaleah. Work is very good. That's a wonderful thing, and that gives honor to its word to people who do it. And Rabbi Shimon says, and also in Mechilta, that's a Gedoyim Melacha. And the question is, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who says in Brachas that people are not supposed to work. He says that if you fulfill a Safta de Ganecha, then would Torah Mateheleah. So what are you going to do, right? Because you're never going to have time to learn. So Rabbi Shmuel says, well, Safta Ganecha, you should work. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you're not supposed to work. So how do you reconcile the contradiction? So it brings down an amazing Stei Chemed, that the Stei Chemed says that we're going to learn actually in the Bavli Daf Yomi tomorrow or the day after, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave for 12 years. And after he came out the first time, so every place he looked, he would, you know, where he saw things he disproved of, so that person who he saw got burnt up. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zohar Hashem said, Lachri v'alami atatzi, you came out to destroy my world, chizul maraskin, go back to your cave. And he went back to the cave for a year, and then when he came out the second time, so he understood, he would, even though his son, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, was still such a zealous individual, Yibsav Rishim Reichai understood that there is a purpose for working and all that kind of stuff. So he wants to say that really, Rishim Reichai reneged on the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos, which says that you're not supposed to work, that was Rishim Reichai's original opinion. Then after the cave experience, after being an additional year, he came back out and he understood that work is an important thing. And then he came to the conclusion which the Yerushalmi here brings, which is that malach, gedolah malach, that work is a good thing. So it's interesting. He went from Torah only to being Torah derech eretz or Torah Maga, depending on your perspective, after he came out of the cave. Okay? What? I don't know. This is amazing. Stei Chemed. He brings it down here from the Stei Chemed. Mareches havav klautes vav. Says, first my knowledge should not work either. It's one of us. Okay. Says more further. Ksiv lo sachsam shor v'disha. It says, do not muzzle an ox when he's threshing. Uksiv, and it says, ki sovel v'ker me'echa, you should go, when you go into your friend's vineyard, you eat when you're actually involved in harvesting. Ad kan lo shamanu. Till now, we only heard el shor betolush, that an ox eats in stuff which is severed from the ground, stuff which he's threshing. V'adam chubar, and a man eats in that which is connected to the ground, the stuff growing on the vine. Adam Maushiyocha Betolush. What about a man? Can a man eat in that which is severed from the ground? In other words, we extrapolate from an ox and say the following: Uma ima shor. If an ox she'eno ochel b'mechubar, who doesn't eat when something connected to the ground, ochel b'talush, he does eat in something which is severed from the ground. Adam, a human being b'mechubar, who eats the stuff which is mechubar, eno din she'ocha b'talush, is not a kavachomer that he when stuff which is connected to the ground. It's not certainly true that he eats in stuff which is severed from the ground. Says no. Tamud lomar lo sach some shor b'disho. It says do not muzzle an ox when he's threshing. Shor b'lo sach some, an ox that cannot be muzzled when he's threshing, but ain't other b'lo sach some. But a man may be muzzled when he's threshing. In other words, you may tell a man he's not allowed to eat from that which is no longer connected to the ground when he's working with it. We don't paskin this way. We paskin a man may eat when he's threshing, even when he was working and stuff which is severed from the ground. But this Tana holds that a man may not eat when he's working stuff which is no longer attached to the ground. And vice versa. Shor maushiyocha mimchubar. What can an ox eat when it's working stuff which is still connected to the ground? Uma adam shein ocha betolush, a human being who doesn't eat in stuff which is severed from the ground. Ocha b'mechubar, he does eat when it's connected to the ground. Shor betolush, a ox who does eat when it's severed from the ground. Ein odin shi'ocha b'mechubar, is it not kavachom that he certainly eats now which is connected to the ground? Oh, do I say no? Ma'akam below sachsom, just like over here, it's by you should not muzzle. Avkam below sachsom. So to well, actually, it's this is not this. Continuing, or perhaps I could say this. It's not another side of the equation, but expounding on the same side further. Ma'akam below sachsom, just like you're not allowed to muzzle an ox when he's threshing, when it's severed from the ground. Avkam below sachsom, so they're not allowed to muzzle an ox when he's working something in the ground, such as plowing or whatever. Tamulom, as the pasuk says, lo sachsom shor b'disho. You know, the muzzle an ox when he's threshing. B'disho. What's next word by you? Ein atachosmo. When he's threshing, you're not allowed to muzzle him. Aval atachosmo, but you're allowed to muzzle him when its stuff is still connected to the ground. So according to this Tana, they're exclusive, mutually exclusive. An ox only may not be restrained when he's working stuff which is severed from the ground, but he may be restrained when he's working stuff which is still connected to the ground. A human being may eat only when he's working with stuff which is still connected to the ground, but he can be restrained when he's from eating or constrained from eating when he's working in stuff which is already had been harvested. Okay, so says the Gemara, Mikan Omru, somewhere up to?
Yeah.
Mikan Omru, from here they said. Now this goes back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that a worker who's out in the field, he can eat and he's exempt from Trumas and Maisras. Okay, Mikan Omru, from here we deduce code that if he's exempt from Trumas and Maisras, that means a person who's working on the field can make a deal with the owner of the field not to eat, or that his sons and daughters who are working with him on the field won't eat, if they obviously agree that the husband, the father, should represent them. For his slaves, whom of course the owner represents, vayde ishto, and his wife, mipnei sheyesh b'hem das, who have intent and can agree with to forgo their portion to their husbands, to their father, to their masters, and to their fathers. Why is that? They all own it. It's ownership. You know why it's ownership? Whatever the worker eats, he owns, because if he didn't own it, then the moment he took it, it should be considered to be an acquisition. And acquisitions are chayiv and trumus and maizos at the very least midrabana, right? Because you can no longer snack on an acquisition once there's been a transaction, because it looks as if it's permanent already. So therefore, if it must be that here, it's not that he's acquiring it when he's picking it up to eat it, but rather that he owns it. Okay? So therefore, there's a certain degree of ownership which he has in the field by dint of the fact that he's working in it. And that ownership is something which he can negotiate with the owner of the field. It's a remarkable concept. It's his. There's a legal stat right which he has in the field, which he can now negotiate and decide whether to keep or to give or whatever the case may be. Avalon Einokotz, it's he cannot forego the portion and make deals. Loi de beno bito aktanim, not for his minor son or daughter. Loi de avdo shichos aktanim, nor for his minor slaves. Loi de bemto, no for his animals. He can't represent them in a transaction because they don't have das to make him their agent. Okay? Now, the Gemara asks the question. Lo tzricha ocha min ha-teira. It's not a question by me that somebody who eats mina Torah is exempt from Trumas Maisrus. He's exempt. I understand that. But yehi chayav, but still let him be chayav Rabbanan. After all, it does look like an acquisition. So this guy, this worker, let him be chayav Rabbanan in Trumas Maisrus. Why is he exempt even be the Rabbanan? In other words, basically, it's a question, why don't we include him in the regular Gzeira? We have there anybody who buys and sells. It's all the Rabbanon, right? Anybody who buys and sells and engages in barter of his foodstuff generates a chi of a trumasomysis on it, which is permanent, and therefore snacking is no longer permitted. So let's see the same thing here. Let's throw the Rabbanon on the back of the shoulder. Why not? On the back of this worker. Why not? That's more. I'll tell you why. Rabbi Yehuda said, HaToyer HaPacho, so the Torah specifically exempt from trumasomysis. The chsiv, it says, Kinaf Shecho. You can eat as you desire. As you desire means everything you desire without taking off trumas and maisers. So we have a general principle. Rabbanan don't make decrees against explicit Torah statements. So the Torah states explicitly that you're allowed to eat, that a worker is allowed to eat without taking trumas and maisers off without exception. So therefore the Rabbanan are not going to make exer against him, say, well, it looks like a sale, let's slap a prohibition on it. And that's a general principle. Wherever there's an explicit pasuk, the rabbis don't make a takana against it. Okay? Let's go on to anywhere in the Torah. Yeah. The Rabbanan never make a takon against something which is beforeish b'Torah, even if they want to. They can't. They don't go ahead and do so. It's too much of a too inconsistent with the Torah. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Back to Halacha Dalet, the beginning. Haya Oseh Belufsin. I don't have the one in front of me, but it should be towards the end. Around 4, 5, 6 lines from the end of the Mishnah. Yeah. Hayosa Belufsin. This is the workers working with figs, which are not so much good figs. They're actually used just for cooking, for kompots and things. So the workers should not eat the better figs. Okay, in other words, you can't say, oh, well, I'll wait till I get to the better figs to eat. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. That's what I just said is wrong. Scratch that. What it means is when he's working in the less good figs, he can't extend his hand out to the better figs and take them. Aval, however, bivno shevel elchol blusin and vice versa. When he's working in the good figs, if he wants to take the other figs, he can't take them either. This he can do. He can't refrain from collecting any until he reaches the place where the good figs are. Vochel and eat there. Hamachli bim chavero. Somebody who makes a barter with his friend. Not a worker. Zelecho v'zelecho. I barter in exchange with you. I can't give you figs to eat and you give me figs to eat. Or zelikzos v'zelikzos. I give you figs to eat and you give me figs to dry and I give you figs to try. So I give you figs to eat and you give me figs to dry. In all cases, chayev, these are all considered to be like sales, and therefore they're mechayev. One is no longer allowed to snack from these substances. Rabbi Yudah Omer, machlif lecho chayev, in a barter where I exchange to eat. So I gain to eat. For me, they're no longer snackable. However, if you could accept them in order to dry them, then you can still snack on them. For you, they're not kavu and trumus and maisers. Okay, back to the Gemara. Tamon Tanina. We still need the alpha on the base. You have it, Mr. Zuger?
It's by an asterisk.
It's by the asterisk, yeah.
Even with the
Gelinger
Shas.
Still no good? Okay, Tamatina. I also obtained him somebody who was working in figs, so he'll go banovi. Shouldn't eat grapes. Banovi means he didn't work in grapes, so he'll go obtain him. Can't sure need figs. But tiny low, we learn concerning this. I also be inclusive. If you're eating, if you're working on one branch, you can't eat from another branch. Well, now the Gemara asks a question. If you can, if you're working on one branch, you can't eat another branch. Is it partially if you're working on the cooking figs, you can't eat, and the fresh figs? It's obvious, right? Says Mara, a very interesting answer. I need it for this case. Let's say if you grafted them both on the same tree, and they're both on the same branch now. So nonetheless, you can't, if you're working on the same branch, you can't eat the good figs from the end if you're on the bad figs at the beginning of the branch. Okay, where they grafted one on the other. Tanya, we learned. When you come into your friend's vineyard. It is pretty unusual, yeah.
It's like, how far can a person extend his hand? It's almost like, theoretically, in that same branch, we don't know how far, you know, the good figs are from the bad figs.
But that's the thing, on the same, even on the same branch, we normally would say that you can extend your hand. You can't extend your hand if it has better figs at the other end. Again, it's about the only way this happens is through a graft.
The converse is also not permitted too. So if the worst figs are on the same branch.
Right, even the worst figs. That's right. You have to eat specifically from the type of figs you're collecting. Tanya, we learned. Kisava kamriach, we call your friend's vineyard. So you're allowed to eat, right? Yorub shakol adam akos davar. Is that possible to tell you about any person? Even a person who's not working, Talmud loy ma'avel kel yecholoti tein. It says you can't put into your own containers, which sounds like avot to nosin the caliph shel chavrecha, but you are putting into your friend's containers. So veiz is there. Who's somebody who's putting into his friend's containers? Zapoyel. That's a worker. So this is talking about a worker. Who's allowed to eat in his friend's vineyard? A worker. V'chalta anovim. You're allowed to eat grapes. What do you think, we're idiots? We don't know that all there is to eat in a vineyard is grapes. Why does the pasuk say you're eating grapes? Elamikan, from where we derive, that if he's working in figs, he shouldn't eat the grapes. If he's eating the grapes, he shouldn't, working the grapes, he shouldn't eat the figs. Kenaf shecha. When it says you can eat knaf shechol like your soul, kol davar shayetzer tov, anything that your heart desires. Meaning, there's no limit to what you're allowed to eat. And no knaf shechol, not in quantity nor quality. Knaf shechol, kol davar, as you desire everything. From this we derive shupatim in amaisus. You can eat the entire thing. Not just everything, but the entire thing. Entire thing means even the portion which might otherwise go to Trumas and Maestros. So we see that somebody who's working the field is exempt for Trumas and Maestros. Mal at oichel bepotor, just like you, the owner, can eat and are exempt because you're out in the field. It's not avkol apoil oichel bepotor. So to the worker, eats an exempt because for him it's also a snack. Okay, we're on the top now of... Oh no, we're not yet. Sorry, not yet. Kenaf shecha, as your nefesh mikan, chayor Rabbi Lezer Chasma. From here, Rabbi Lezer Chasma derived a very interesting statement, which is lo yochal poel yoser al schoro. A worker should not eat more than his wages, more than he's worth. Umi nine should nafsho kriya schoro. How do you know that your soul is your salary? Boy, you can darshan on this Gemara, right? It says a worker shouldn't eat more than his salary. And we learn out of the word nafsho. So we learn the word nefesh is your means for refers to your salary. We nine shnafsho kriyas chara. Again, I know that your soul is your salary. Shenem, as it says, Me'avob Hashem Rabbi Yisrael Chinah says, Ne'amar kan nafsho. Here it says you eat as your soul. Ve'ne'amar lahalon nafsho. It says later on by a worker, the word nafsho, it says, Tichsiv, it says, Ve'lovu noseis nafsho. A worker lifts up his soul to his employer to pay his salary. Just like when it mentions nefesh over there, it's referring to salary. Afkan, so to hear, schoro, it's referring to your salary. Savecha, you eat until you're satiated. Well, that means eat normally, the way you get satiated. Shaloya ochelomeki, you shouldn't be engaged in bulimic acts, right? Eating and throwing up in order to be able to eat more. Savecha, as you're satiated, you shouldn't peel the figs, because only that's not considered to be proper, that's not the normal way to eating. You shouldn't suck the grapes, only eat. Now, so there's more a couple of interesting ramifications of all this. The workers are allowed to engage with the owner in eating salty foods, herring and the like, in order that later on they should be able to eat a lot of grapes. But the Baal Bos can give them wine to drink in order that they shouldn't eat a lot of grapes. For Rashai, they weren't dealing with heavy machinery, so they could drink wine and work in the old days. For Rashai, Bala Para, Lariva Balaila, Simli, an owner of a cow, which is being hired out to thresh the next day, he can starve his cow the night before, Bishul Shetochel Harbi, Bishul Shidosha, in order to eat a lot at the time that it's threshing. However, on the other hand, also on the other direction, Rashai Ba'abayis La'achila Pakir Yamir, the owner of the grain, who's renting out the cow, is allowed to give her to eat before threshing a lot of bundles of hay, because Shalota Chalar Baby Shashidosha, in order that it shouldn't have much to eat at the time that it's threshing. Rabbi Avo Omer, very interesting language, Hatrigu Lebehemin. Now, hatrigo is a word which has intrigued many generations of commentators. The pshat he takes from the Gra is, give esrogim to eat. Hasrigu. Give esrogim to eat. And Ravi, he liked to make up words. This is really, I would say, from modern Hebrew, I could say, to give you banana seed, I call hibanu. Right? Right. He says here, he brings down here that with the Gemara in Ervin, Dafnum Gimel and Beis in the Bible, he says, Ravo Hoya Rogil Adaber Beloshin Chachma. Used to speak, obviously, in, I guess.
Make verbs out of nouns,
right. So, he said, Atrigalabahamin, the Bahamin are workers, again, it's not clear if he's talking about animals. Pashupsaz means animals, and but the animals would eat esrogim, and then later on they wouldn't eat much in the threshing. But he brings down but they say the Bahamin are actually workers who are working, human beings, and ones who are allowed to eat, so I guess they're working with animals, allowed to eat, so you can distract them by giving them esrogim to eat, which in the old days were cheap. Rabbi Chanani would give his workers to eat dates. In order that they shouldn't eat when they're out in the fields. Rabbi Mana Mechluni will give them to eat astpinine, which here he translates as parsnips.
Okay, I guess workers like parsnips.
Tani. Rabbi Chia says, Poel Ochel Eshkol Rishon. A worker can eat the first cluster even before he's actually put anything into his boss's containers. In other words, he's allowed to eat even before he commences work. East Tani Tani, there's some who learned. Oh, do you have East Tani? No, two lines. You have East Tani again? No, next two lines down. He eats the first, he can eat the first cluster even before he got one for the Baal Bos. What's the next word you have?
Tani
Eshkolachor. Okay, so I have East Tani. Some said Tani Eshkolachor, that it's the last cluster. In other words, after he's collected for the Baal Bos, the last cluster, he can say, you know what, I want the last one and take it for himself. The same idea, either the first or the last one. Rabbi Shmuel Bereb B'Shem Rabbi Hila said, however, this is all logical, Nostu L'Sau, once you put it into the owner's basket, also you can't take it out and say, oh, I changed my mind, I want to eat this one, it belongs to the kids, to the Baal Bos. Rabbi Yossi says, L'chein Tzricha, if this is talking about a case where where he was harvesting and somebody else was putting the basket into the Yeah, when it says he can't eat after the last cluster. So that means after he picked the last cluster, he can't eat, because it's about a case where Reuven was harvesting, and Shimon then takes the basket back to the wine press or to the house, whatever the case may be. So therefore, once he started, finished harvesting, his work is over. But the same guy, Reuven, was harvesting and then carrying the basket to the wine press or to the house. So in the beginning, he eats. Now, bitchila is a difficult word to translate. It literally means at the beginning. But it means, here it means not when he's, now he's working, because when he's working and picking, that's the right, so not, it's not at the Rabbanan. But here we're about to say it's at the Rabbanan. So here it means when he put it into the basket, he can eat because this is the custom. Meaning that workers who put stuff in baskets continue to eat because the basket is still something which they're safeguarding for the Baal Bas. So since it's still the same car as the bus, even though it's no longer connected to the ground, I mean, the rice, and they might not be no longer be allowed to eat, but Rabbanan, they eat at this stage. Ulbasov, and when he continues to carry the basket from the field to the wine press or whatever, he also, ochel, he continues to eat. Mishum apalim, again, because of the Rabbanan, because the workers, ochlin, they work bali chasen when they're walking. What are the next words you have? Me'uman l'uman, from furrow to furrow, even though they're not actually engaged at work at the time. Chazirasan min hagas, and when they come back from a vineyard as well. Again, so walking workers also get to eat at that time. Uvechamor, and a donkey, kshiporekus, gets to eat even when it's just unloading a load off its back. Okay?
So this is the difference between Mishum Medina and Mishum Hapolan?
Yeah. Medina is customary.
Yeah,
and Poland is a Rabbanan, an outright Rabbanan. Mm-hmm. Why the difference, I don't know.
But the terminology, Mishum HaPolan.
No. Mishum, the following statement, Halacha, Mishum HaPolim Ochim, it's all one long statement. Mishum HaPolim Ochim, Balichotim Mi'uman Luman, Uvchasos Mi'agas. Because that quote from Bab Metzia, it's a quote from Bab Metzia. So it's because of that entire statement that they eat. Okay? Tanya, we learned, Mari Mota Malpolov, a person can make a ruse not on his workers, but through his workers, here it means. Lios Ochlin Teisha Vakotzi Machas. He wants to get them to eat. He has to get them to eat. He made a deal he's going to feed them for the day. But he feeds them from his own stuff, Mr. Suga. What does he have to do before he feeds them stuff? If he feeds them from his own property?
Open his own property?
Yeah. Makes a meal. He has to take off? Right, so instead of feeding them directly, what can he do? So they can do, it doesn't have to take control mice of what they eat. It says, eat more than you normally would from what you're working out in the fields.
Oh, okay.
So that's what it says here. He can make this ruse that they'll eat nine and cut him one, which is much, much more than they normally do, right? So that way he doesn't have to feed them stuff which is already tight. So he gains a little bit. Yistanoi Tani, so, you don't have Yistanoi again. But there are those who have Tani, Kotsi Teisha Vokin Achaz, no, they do. Oh, you do have Yistanoi?
Yeah.
Okay, there's some Bryces would say that he cuts nine and eats one. The worker cuts nine and eats one. Nicha, I understand that there's a Chiddush Ochlin Teisha Vokotsi Machaz when it says that, what?
I'm muttering to myself on my breath at the Gemara.
At the Gemara?
No.
Oh, with the one. Okay. Nicha ochlin teisha v'kotzi machas. I understand if you're going to tell me they can cut nine and eat nine and give one. So then the chiddush. In other words, even though it's far above and beyond the normal standard operating procedure, that's still permitted. It's permitted to make this ruse in order to allow them to snack and not give stuff to trumas u'maisrus. However, kotzi teisha v'ochlin machas, that they can cut nine, eat one, that's obvious. That would be a normal occurrence, right? Rabbi Avin said, this is a chiddush. Shlo tomar, you shouldn't say, you also kill achak gemar malacha, that if they're eating their allotment via what they're eating on the field, so maybe it's considered again, midrabbanan, as if this was completely completed, the process of harvesting these crops, and therefore you're chayv, and therefore it should be chayv in Trumas and Maisis Rabbanan. Again, because it's, I can make it even sharper, because it's being used to redeem an obligation. The Baal Bayis is using stuff on the field to redeem his obligation to the workers. So I might say that already makes the candidate be chayim and trumas of maizes because being used as a to redeem an obligation. So they have to tell you, has to tell me according to this Tana, who says they eat one and collect nine, that you're allowed to do it because and not considered to chay to take off trumas of maizes again because it's not considered to be actually kavua yet, and we don't look at it as if it's just it's being used to pay back a loan. Pnicha lecho chayev. Set back in our Mishnah that if two people barter with each other, either both are going to eat or both are going to are dry, they're chayev. They're no longer allowed to snack. So that's why I understand that if I barter with you in order to eat, so then it looks like a sale, and I'm chayev to take of Jerusalem. I can no longer snack, and neither can you. However, it says more leak. So it's chayev. If we're bartering for the purpose of drying, why are we chayev to take off trumas of maizes? It's not yet gemar melacha. The process is not complete. Rabbi Lezer said, Rabbi Meir, he are mishes like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, mekach toivo beperos, a barter or sale makes peros considered to be definitively tevel, even shlo nigmar melacha, and even they're not completely worked over yet. From Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Eliezer, and Meir Rabbi Elazar, Eliezer Shnei Mar Mut Evrecho. They both said the same thing. K'mod Rabbi Eliezer Omer Repeirush Lo Nigmar Malachton. Rabbi Elazar said previously in the Messiah in the Perek that fruit which is not yet complete, nonetheless, Truma Tovelis. If you take Truma of them, then you can no longer snack off them. You have to take off them both the mices as well. Cain Rabbi Meir Omer Sotar Meir says Mekach Tovel Beperos. That acquisition makes stuff tevel, meaning no longer eat without tithing. Shalog Beper Shloning Mamlachlan. Even the stuff is not fully completely worked over yet. Hajul Achayover new Perek. Hamavir Tainim Because Bechatzero. Some of you takes figs via his field. Via is the key word here. It's not in his field, but via his courtyard. Liktos to a drying area. Banav ubnei beso, his members, his children, members of his household, ochlin upturim, can eat, and they are exempt. Bob, Paul, and Shimon, also the workers are with him. Bismach ain't la mazonas, if they're not under his, if they're not being fed by him, meaning that they don't have a deal that they must be fed by him, since it's not like paying back a loan, so then, Ochin Upturim, they too are eat on our exempt. Am Yeshlem with la mazonas, but if he is required to feed them, so then it's like paying back a loan. And Harei Lo Yachlu, then the workers may not eat from this. Now, it's very important to realize that the reason why they may not eat the workers, in the bright end of the last parak, we had that the guy out in the field can eat and snack. Right? Here the workers can't eat and snack. What's the difference? Because before it was out in the field. Here it's in a courtyard.
Courtyard is more stringent.
So in a field, so the workers can continue to eat, because we assume it's not considered to be it doesn't look like it's actually a monetary transaction. Looks like it's eating the normal amount. So even if he's eating more than he normally would, so that's just a ruse. But here where it went through the field, through the courtyard, which is really a quasi going through the house. So then in that case, I don't allow the workers to eat and be potter, because then it looks like going through house plus making a deal with it, and that's impermissible. Okay, let's go to the Gemara, Mr. Zuger. No, I'm sad you the whole time tonight. Come on. Last night you were with me the whole time. Okay, go right to the Gemara. Who asked about Mao Shiyocha? Well, you want to get a cup of coffee? I'll wait for you to get back. We might as well record this. We haven't discussed this yet, but the Baal Bayis, what about the Baal Bayis himself? And we're going to ask. We just talked about his members of his house, so what about him? So we're going to see that it's a relative thing precisely because it is a chotzer. Okay, so, but a chotzer is quasi-house. That is the point of our Mishnah. So there going to be a couple of issues here, right? It's like a house, and also you're passing through. All those become factors here. Okay, we're up to who Atzmo Mao Shiyocha. Right at the beginning of the Gemara. Yeah, who atmo? You have a line first. You have a header, right? Amavir teinim gomer. Okay. Who atmo maru shiocha? Rava, the Barbais himself. The Mishnah discussed everybody in the family except for the owner. The owner. What's his status? Rava mar ohu aser lechol. He's not allowed to eat. Ula Rabbi Shmuel said b'shem Rabbi Lezer amar hu muter lechol. He's allowed to eat. Now what's the machlokas here? Rav Kravi Meir. Rav's is like Rabbi Meir. It's interesting. It's a very fascinating comparison. I shouldn't say very. Somewhat fascinating. Rabbi Meir said at the end of the last Mishnah that sales are koveya. You're not allowed to snack anymore, even if it's not nigmar malachtan. Rav holds the chater is also the same thing. Here it's not nigmar malachtan because you're carrying it through the yard to, in order to dry somewhere. It wasn't completed yet. The process is not complete because these are figs you intend to dry, right? You're not going to leave them moist. So therefore, this is not completely processed yet. So nonetheless, just like our mayor says, that barter or sale in something which is not completely processed yet, not nigmar malachto, prevents you from subsequently snacking. So to here, going through your chotzer, bedarvish lo nigmar malachto, prevents you from snacking. Why only the Baal Bus? Because it's his yard. So since it's his yard, so therefore he's now chayev. He's not allowed to snack anymore. Anybody else? The yard doesn't play that critical a role in their chiyuv. Rabbi Lezer's karabonon, who hold that here it's not gmar malach yet, right? They intend to dry them, and therefore it continues to be exempt even for the Baal Bus. Rav Rabbi Meir asked the Gemara, wait a minute, if Rav's like Rabbi Meir, in Rabbi Meir, afilu bono b'nei beiso yu asurin. If that's the case, so his children and his wife, it's their courtyard as well, right? What's between him and his wife and kids? So says the Gemara, Ela Rav, Rabbi, Rav Kirabi. Rav holds like Rabbi, who we have not seen yet, we'll see imminently. And Rabbi Elazar's Karabon, and Rabbi Elazar's like the rabbis. Dom Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Simon said name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul said b'shem Rav, ein ochin ala mukta. It's a very interesting halacha. You're not allowed to eat stuff which is not which is going to be dried. You're not allowed to snack it, even though it's going to be dried. Ela mekoymoy, unless you're in the place of the drying. In the drying location, meaning on the roof or whatever, wherever you're going to dry it. Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi. So a similar idea, right? It's like Min HaMukaf, right? Rabbi Yaakov B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Divrei Chachamim, according to Chachamim, Ochlin al Mukta, Bein al Mekomo, Bein al Shalom Mekomo. This is, Divrei Chachamim is actually some. Wait a minute, where's Rebbe? I think I read something wrong a minute ago. Yeah, it was a shy. It said B'Shem Rav. It's B'Shem Rebbe, right? Right. Yesterday, Shem B'Shem Rebbe said, "Ein ochlim amukta el makomo." Divrei Chachamim. Rebbe's position is that you can only eat in the spot of the mukta. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi B'Shem Rishon Ben Levi said, "Divrei Chachamim, the Chachamim argue on Rebbe." I don't think you have the word "Divrei Chachamim," do you? Okay, it means the Chachamim argue on Rebbe. Ochlin Hamukta Ben Hamakomo Ben Shulam Hamakomo. If you intend to dry it, you can still snack on it, regardless of whether you're in the place or they're going to be dried or not.
Divrei Chachamim goes with Rabbi Yaakov by reading.
It's confusing. I don't know. I don't know why they. I'm not sure how to read it because Divrei Chachamim appears twice. Maybe first Divrei Chachamim is a mistake. Because it's really the Machlokes Rei Rabbanan is Rabbi holds if you're going to dry them, you can still snack on them, but only in the place you're going to dry them. Why is that very interesting dichotomy? It's very interesting. Like, no, it is interesting. He says the Kavanah explains you're the Baal boss, right? You're the boss, so you if you can decide you're not going to dry them. So therefore, when is it clearly obvious and manifest you're going to dry them? Only if we're standing in the drying location. Then I say, oh, he's going to dry them, so let him snack on them right now because they're not yet at the end of the road. They're not yet at Gemar Malacha, not yet completed. Okay. But if you're the Rabbanan are saying, no, once he decided to dry, even if he's not in the drying location, he's not going to change his mind. So therefore, he can continue to snack. Now, this whole thing of Rebbe is only by himself, because since he's the boss, he could change his mind. But even his wife and kids, they're not the boss. If the father says, you put it in the drying location, the good old days, you put it in the drying location, that's it, there's no change in the mind. So therefore, the kids and wife are always allowed to snack, whether it's in the drying location or not, because they have no right to change the nature of the process. He who has the nature then, the right to change the process, so he can decide in midstream, that's it, we're not drying anymore. So therefore, unless he's standing in the spot where they're going to dry, I say, according to a Rebbe, maybe he'll change his mind, and therefore he's not allowed to snack.
This is an issue of
Gemir Stas. Mishnah Gemir Stas, right. Right. At what point do I say the Gemir Stas is, according to Rebbe, who said has to be in the drying location, but you know, then we learn how charuvin, caribs, actual cut on the Rosh HaGadol before you put them on the top of the and we go from one yata from Hanukkah, which we just ended today, to Tu B'Shvat, which is coming up, and by the caribs were not for Tu B'Shvat, right? Charuvin actual cut on the Rosh HaGadol, even before you put them on top of the roof, you can still snack from them. The roof is the drying location. You can snack from them even though they're not in the drying location. So the Chari see now, right, not like Rebbe. Amalei, so the question, I don't see why how it's right now, like Rebbe. Rebbe's a tonic, can argue in anything. But all right, Amalei, so he said, Lo Sivani Charuvin. Don't ask me a question from carobs. You know why not? Charuvin Machal Be'emayin. Animals eat carobs. You ever try to eat boxer? It's hard. Stuff. No normal human being eat that stuff. So it's animal food. So therefore, really, it's not Chaim Trumas Samaitis at all. But if human beings eat it, so it's like a chumrah to take off trumas and maaser off it. So therefore, they were not so machmir, so you have to dafka be in the drying location in order to snack on it. Okay? Al daiti to Rav, according to Rav, who said that he's not allowed to eat, and his kids are permitted to eat. I already explained this. We'll explain this outside, but now we'll see it inside. Ma binu ma bin bona, what's between him and his kids? Who Aideshu Toli be Mukta? He, because he's contingent on the Mukta, now it means the exact opposite. It means that the Mukta is contingent on him, right? He decides whether to dry or not. Usser, he can change his intent midstream, so therefore it can't be necessarily considered Gemar Malacha. But of his kids, Aideshu Ainatli be Mukta, since the Mukta is not contingent on him but on Pop, so therefore Mutter, they're allowed to snack, even if it's not yet in the drying location. Nicha Bonav, I understand his kids, they're exempt. Bnei Beso, but his wife, Bnei Beso, members of the household, euphemism for wife. Vein lo love mizoinus? It's an amazing question. He's got to feed his wife. So all the food that she gets is really acquired by her. So therefore, any time a wife gets food, she should never be allowed to snack. Why? Because you fall under the rubric of Mekach. Right. Anytime a wife eats, the most happening is she's acquiring it. It's an acquisition. Because there's a halacha, he's chayiv to give him his own. It's an actionable obligation on him. So therefore it should be considered to be a sale, right? It's an amazing question. Tipater, so the Gemara gives a very kind of a lame answer. Tipater commandam is going like the opinion which holds ain't Lisha Mizonis Devar Torah. That a woman doesn't get food mito raisa. Tani, like we learned, ain't Bates been poskim Lisha Mizonos. Poskim Mizonos Lisha. Basin does not give a woman to eat mitve shvius. A woman can't be given to eat from Shemitah fruit. Now, let's talk about a woman whose husband is out of town. And she comes to court and says, Rabbi, I'm starving. I need food. So here we give her food. That's mamish, though, like a sale. In other words, we're giving her a right to go down and take to her husband's bank account and acquire money. Or take the money to pay for the food. Or we're giving her the right to go eat from his crop. In that case, we can't give her Shemitah fruit, because you're not allowed to buy and sell Shemitah fruit. And this looks very much like a sale. To give her the right to place a lien and collect from the fruit is like a sale, and you can't buy and sell Shemitah fruit. But if she's home, imagine the flip side of this, where that's not true. If he's home, so they're allowed to eat Shemitah fruit together. So it's, when does it look like a sale? Only when he's away from home and we give her mizonos as part of a court order. But if he's home and they're eating together supper, so it's not doesn't look like a real sale, and therefore she's allowed to eat the shemitah fruit with him. So what it boils down to is that since it's according to Binyan, at least that mizonos is not the raisa, it looks a little bit like a obligation, and therefore like a sale, but not completely like an obligation and a sale, if the husband is in town when eating with her, and therefore it's not going to be kovev, is it true, Mises, and deprive you of the right to snack. Now that we're asking a very cryptic question. Let's make the wife like a worker who's not worth a pruta. Now, the way the Kavanakiyak explains this, he says, now wait a minute. A worker normally gets to eat because he makes a salary, right? We learned back in the previous pack, the Shita of, I forget what that was, but one of the Tanoim, who said that a worker only gets to eat if he makes more than he's eating, right? So this woman, she's like a worker who doesn't make him any money, right? Because she's not actually going out there and producing money, right? In the good old days, the women stayed at home, they didn't work, they didn't produce money. So, what?
They didn't work in fields?
No, but they didn't actually buy and sell things, right? So Yasu so Kaposha and Shava Pruta, and therefore when she eats, again, she's not eating like a normal, she's eating as an acquisition. Because she doesn't have the rights of a worker to eat. If you give her to eat when she's working, so that's considered to be giving wages, which are not giving wages or paying off. So therefore, it should be fall in the category of mekach. Hadamro, if by virtue of how we don't say it, must be shloso so kapol sheni yoshav yeni yafisha pruta. Must be that we didn't make her like a worker who's not worth his wages, and therefore she's allowed to eat without maisrin. Now, that's the Rashi Leo says the exact opposite. He says anyway she should be exempt from Trumas Mites because she's. Well, I think Rashi Leo makes more sense, although he pushes it off. But he says Rashi Leo learns the Kasha. What do you want to be chayav in Trumas Mites because she's getting her rights as mizonos, right? And it's an obligation which is actionable. Anyway, she should be part because right now she's out working.
Right.
Since she's working, she's like a worker.
Right.
It's true, she's like a worker who doesn't make money. But that was only one shita which holds the worker's got to make money in order to eat. The other shitas hold that even if she doesn't make money, she can still, even workers is causing more loss than gain, he can still eat. So let the wife work here. So let her be exempt from Trumas because she's working. Right? And so any worker can snack without Trumas Maitzris. So there must be that we didn't give a wife the status of a worker. That must be that's the conclusion of the Gemara. And therefore we have to say, how is she allowed to snack and be exempt from Mises? Only if you hold that Mizonos is not a bona fide the rights obligation, that it's only a quasi obligation of rabbinic stature. Okay? Be that as it may. Now the Gemara asks, Filu command Domar, Ein Lo Lo Mizonos, even according to the opinion that holds that she doesn't have Mizonos the rights, Ain't law a law based dira? Doesn't she have the right to a house? And the courtyard is her courtyard. Which that's also an actionable claim she has on her husband. So just his courtyard is her courtyard. So there's like a courtyard is mechayev him, so to the courtyard should be mechayev her. Right? Should fix her for Trumas and Maestras.
The assumption here is the chatzar follows the house.
What?
The assumption here is the chatzar follows.
Right, we're going to reject that. Because of the Tani, though, like this that we learned in Eruvin, Anoshim, Sheshitfu Blo Das Noshim, men who joined in a Shituf Mevos, committed their Chatzeres to be part and parcel of a common Shituf Mevos, an Eruv in an alleyway. So Shalomi Das Noshim without their wives' consent, Shituf and Shituf, that's valid. Noshim Sheshitfu Shalomi Das Noshim, if the women participated without their men's consent, the Eruv is not a valid Eruv. So we see in Echnami, as you were saying, the courtyard is not an integral part and parcel of the house, because on the house she has the right to participate in the Eruv, even without his knowledge, but in the Chotzer, she must, the courtyard, she's subordinate to him. Okay? Tanya, we learned to the Bryce. You with me still? Mr. Zuger, you with me? Tanya, the Kluot Shenich Lusum Yisoda Le'ir. This is going on the next part of the mission, which we haven't seen yet. It says that somebody who takes his workers out to the field when they they're allowed to snack, okay? As long as he doesn't have to feed them, they're allowed to snack. And then we're going to discuss it later on. So the kulat shenit v'nichlasu misada le'ir. It says that as long as anybody who came in from the field to the city nitbulu, so then they're no longer allowed to snack. Now that means the workers got food, the food out in the field. They with the permission of Babos. Even they were allowed to snack out in the field with the permission of Babos. Once they went back to the city, that's it. They're no longer allowed to snack. Masnisa de Rebbe. That statement that Bryce is like Rebbe. The Tan is we learned heavy tanimin asod el ochel b'chatzero. If you bring figs from the field, teach them in the courtyard. Shana Mishtameris, which is not a courtyard, which is safeguarded. And therefore, you certainly are continued to be exempt from Trumus and Meisers. But then, Shochach Mechnisel Toch, basically, you forgot to bring them into your house, or Sheikhnisel Mletinokos, or children who are not yet of age to have a tent, bring them into the house. Hareze Machziron Lemkoimon, you can bring them back to their original location, Vochel. And you can eat mehen arai. You can continue to snack. Well, basically, what that means is inadvertent bringing into a courtyard is not considered to be bringing into a courtyard. If my kids bring it in inadvertently, or I bring it in inadvertently without intent, I can bring it back out and snack. Lomaran elishogin. So if I bring them in inadvertently, hamezid osur. But if I bring them inadvertently, then I can't take them back out again and snack them. Matnisa, who is the author of this price? Rebbe, or this Mishnah. It's Rebbe. The Tani we learned, Hevi Tani Min Asodeh. If you bring figs from the field, Bevir Mechatzero, and you pass them through your courtyard, Lochlem Barosh Gago, to go to the head, to go to the top of your roof in order to dry them, Rebbe Mechayev. Rebbe says, that's it. Ding, 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 ding. No more snacking. Why is that? Because you intentionally brought them to your courtyard. True. You brought them through. But bringing in even through is Mechayev and Trumas and Meitz going to Rebbe. As long as you did it intentionally. If you did it unintentionally, so then you're still exempt. But if you brought it intentionally. Rabbi Yossi Barhuda Poiter. Rabbi Yossi says you continue to be exempt. Heve. Back top of Amud Beis now. So this teaches us Be'ezed Mantano. This teaches us, when do I say, even though it says mantan, which sounds like who do I say, I know it's not who do I say, but rather when do I say. When do I say that somebody who brings figs through his field, to his courtyard, then they can continue to be exempt, is only if liktsos. It's only if he brings them through in order to dry them. But if they're not in order to dry, he's chayev. Now I wasn't exact what I said a moment ago. I didn't fully understand until I read it now. Even according to Rebbe, if you bring the figs through the courtyard to go to a dry, then they continue to be exempt. You can still snack from them, as long as Rebbe Lishitasa holds that he must be in the drying location in order to snack. But he went through your courtyard, you get to the drying location, you're allowed to snack there. Not in the courtyard, but in the drying location, yes. That's only if you took them through your courtyard or whatever in order to take them subsequently to a drying location. If, however, that's what the Gemara is stressing here. If you took them through your courtyard in order to take them to eat, even if you intend to take them now to eat outside your courtyard, you took them through and are going to take them back out again, too late. The chutzah is koveya in that case. And even now that you take them back out of your courtyard, you can no longer snack on them. Because Rebbe says, if you took it to the courtyard intentionally, even though you intended to take it back out again, that's it, too late, no more snacking anymore. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, Rabbi Ula, Rabbi Shmoshe, and Rabbi Leza said, Omar Rebbe, Rebbe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Maisa. Rebbe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you machnis himself kakol achore agagos. Rebbe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda were walking down the street, and they took they took their fruit to the drying location behind the house, meaning not through the courtyard, behind the house. They should continue to be exempt from Trumas and Maisers. Rosa Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lois. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lois saw them. Varmelin, he said, Bo'u, come and see. Ma beinechem l'rishonim. What's between you and the earlier generations? Rabbi Akiva, ha'elokeach sholosh minim b'pruta. He would buy his three little amounts of grain for a pruta. B'shvila aser mikom, he wanted to be kind of the mitzvah of meiser as much as he possibly could. He wanted to be kind of mitzvah of meiser whenever he got a chance. Think he was a generation of stature. And you, in order to exempt yourself from mitzvahs, in order to find loopholes, you go behind in roundabout ways in order that it shouldn't go through a courtyard.
Of course,
you can't. He's not complaining that
what they did was wrong.
He is.
No, I'm just saying what they're.
Oh, not that it's wrong ethically, but
right.
It's wrong ethically.
Not
right. It's not leaving the shuras there. So says more. But wait a minute. Ma'ale chorei gagos. I don't understand why they have to go behind the house. I feel chiz the b'chatzeiro. Lochem barosh gago. Even if you're going through your courtyard, they're not taking it to dry again. They're taking it to eat. But according to Rabbi Yossi, even taking it to eat, you can go through your courtyard and then go to somewhere outside your courtyard and continue to eat as a snack. Vlab Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Let him go through the courtyard. Why do you have to go behind the house? So begin Rabbi Dava Imei. You're right, Rabbi Yossi, he would have reviewed himself. He would have gone straight through a courtyard because he always passing through, even intentionally, doesn't deprive you the right to stack later when you get to the other side and get out again. But since Rebbe was with him, who was a passing through intentionally, does bar you from snacking later on, so I was covered for Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda went around in the back. So along the similar vein to what we just said, certain old men saw them, Armelon, so he said to them, you haven't atun, can you give me something to eat? I want a snack. Armelon in. So they said, yes, go ahead, take some to snack. Armelon, so he said, Lavuchon, the Bishmaya lo yavtun. You didn't give to your father in heaven. In other words, you wouldn't miser it. Elali, but to me, you're willing to give a little bit. This is not ethical and proper behavior. It's not lifnei mishuras hadin. We'll stop here for today.